All right, last, you guys know what we've been talking about? Anybody remember?
I forget. I was trying to explain the whole what we do, and I couldn't remember.
Wise Choices in a Foolish World is the name of the series that we're talking about. Okay, so a question from our first talk a few weeks ago. Where does wisdom begin?
You.
No.
Not with me, no way. Jesus. Easy answer. Woo-hoo, Sunday school answer. Jesus. Right. Jesus modeled for us the perfect life of wise choices. Okay? So it starts with Jesus. We started with Jesus. We started with the end of his Sermon on the Mount where he says, the wise person builds his life on the rock. And the rock is the teachings of Jesus. Right? Okay. Last week we talked about another dude, a very wise guy. We did talk about Jesus, but somebody else. King Solomon. And what is King Solomon known for? He had some smartitude, for sure. Wisdom, yeah. He was a very, very wise man. Some would say that he was the wisest man who ever lived, aside from Jesus, right? So what do we know about King Solomon from last week? He was wise, but what happened? Yeah, he was wise, but he made foolish choices. And why were his choices foolish? He didn't listen to himself. That was the problem. Yeah, imagine that. Who didn't he listen to? God. Right? God had designed life. Solomon was a king in Israel, and he ruled over an incredible empire at the time, and he was extremely wealthy, and extremely wise. He wrote down most of the Proverbs in this book of Proverbs. Just a really wise guy, but he made some really stupid, kind of bonehead choices in his life. And what we learn from Solomon is that even the wisest person on earth can make fools of themselves and make foolish choices, destroying their own lives, if they don't follow God's ways. All right. This week, we're in the Proverbs again. Okay, you guys, I see a whole bunch of you guys didn't pick up Bibles, right? All right, we got to get in the habit. When you come into Ignite, there's Bibles on the back table. Grab them. I know we used to have them right out front so you could see them. Maybe we'll have to do that again. Because, yeah, so. Okay, for this week, it's fine. Okay, oh no, Darcy's got some. Perfect. Because what we want you guys to do is take them to your small group too, so that you guys can participate in the Bible passages that we look at in our small groups. Okay, while Darcy's handing out the book, who can tell me what the purpose of the Proverbs are? Or is? Are. Purposes. Are. Why were the Proverbs written? Anybody? What's that? Alright, to give us wisdom. We learned that last week. Guidance. Advice, guidance. It's more than advice. It is advice, though. Anyone else? Why were the Proverbs written?
Because somebody wrote it.
That's true. Somebody wrote it. If those of you who got your Bible, it's all the first seven verses is all the reasons why it's written. All right, you can turn to page, if you don't know where the Proverbs are, let's see, page 377. All right, let's just go really quick here. Here's the main reason the Proverbs were written. The Proverbs, hey guys, listen up during the talk. Remember, we're paying attention here. During the small groups, you're paying attention there. All right. And you're talking then. All right. So here's the overall big purpose for the Proverbs. The Proverbs basically tell us two things. Okay? Two paths. They highlight two paths. One path is the path of the wise person. The second is the path of the fool. Okay? There's two paths in life that we can take. We can take the path of the wise, or we can take the path of the fool. And the Proverbs outline, like they show us, in fact, we're only going to go through a few times in the Proverbs. But I encourage you guys to start reading the Proverbs. There's some awesome stuff in there. And if you're interested in gaining wisdom, amazing place to get into in the Bible is the Proverbs. Okay? So they help us distinguish, the Proverbs help us distinguish these two paths. And they, it's like a light. It shines the light on the path of the fool and where it leads and how foolish choices happen. And it shines light on the wise choice, the path of the wise person and where that leads. Okay, so we're going to pick up in Proverbs chapter 3. We're going to read the first 8 verses. So chapter 3 is on page 377. And this is what Solomon says. And again, this is wisdom speaking. So when it says, my child, that's wisdom speaking as my child. My child, never forget the things I taught you. Store my commands in your heart. If you do this, you will live many years and your life will be satisfying. Does that sound good? Hey, guys in the back. All right, you guys paying attention? Hey, there we go, lights. Awesome, now you guys can read. It's like, what does it say? Right, what's this? What's the promise for putting commands in your heart? Who here wants a satisfying life? Who here wants like a crapshoot of a life? Besides Cody and Tyler. And Wade, of course. Right, nobody wants an unsatisfying life. That sucks. Okay? If you do this, you will live many years. Who wants to live many years? You all want to have a good life, especially if it's satisfying, right? Yeah. Those two things, kind of key. Because you don't want an unsatisfying life that never ends. Hey, let's keep going. Verse 3. Never let loyalty and kindness leave you. Tie them around your neck as a reminder. Write them down, write them deep into your heart. Then you will find favor with both God and people, and you will earn a good reputation. Okay, we're going to stop here just for a minute. Okay, two paths, remember, that the Proverbs are helping us to distinguish between. First path is the wise person. The wise person, first of all, it says, stores up commands, God's commands in his heart. What does that mean? Okay, it could be memorizing. What else? Anybody? What's that? What does it mean to store up my commands in your heart? We got memorizing already. What else? Anything else? Okay, follow them. Believe them. Ooh, nice. So we got obey them, believe them, memorize them. How do you get to know them?
Read them.
Hey, read them. There we go. So it starts by reading them, right? Storing up God's commands. When I look back in my own life and I look, because I read the Bible a lot, and I look back and you know what? I don't have a whole lot of passages memorized, but one of the things is that when you're reading God's word and you just keep, you're reading it and reading it, what happens is God brings things, when stuff happens in your life, God brings his word into your heart and you're like, oh yeah, God said this or God said that. I remember that. So that's what it means. It kind of means to get into God's word, to trust it, to follow it, to obey it, to store it up, to memorize. And it, all these things, that's what it means. All right, so that's what the wise person first does. Now, here's some more stuff. What good is it if you store up God's commands if you don't trust God, right? Again, the wise person knows who to trust, right? Not only do you know that you need to trust God, but there's certain things you've got to trust about God, right? If you're going to trust somebody, one of the first things you'd have to trust is that they were good, right? If someone was bad, would you trust them? You would? Like with your wallet full of money? Your allowance? Here you go. Can you hold on to that? I'll be back in about 2 hours. Oh, where'd that person go? Right?
What if you're rich?
Well, here's my card. All my money in it. Would you give it to him?
Yeah.
Then you have no money. You're not rich anymore. You're poor. All right. So it's pretty obvious, right? If you're going to trust somebody, they got to be good. So part of it is trusting that not only God is there, not only that God is truth, that His word is right, but also that God is good. One other thing that we got to trust, because God could be good and He could be trustworthy and His commands could be all true, but what good is that if God doesn't, if this person that I'm supposed to put trust in doesn't love me? Because if He doesn't love me, then can you trust Him with your life?
No.
You might be able to trust Him with your wallet, but would you trust Him with your life? Who would you rather have, if you could choose anybody, with your life, would you want it to be someone who was good, trustworthy, what they said was true, and loved you? Or would the love you not matter? It matters, right? Because if someone loves you, what are they doing? They're looking out for you, right? They want the best for you. So these are the things that we got to trust in God first before we're actually able to store His commands in our heart. All right. So here's the promise of wisdom. We already said this, so I'll just go really quick. It says long life. And not only long, but long and satisfying. Because those two go hand in hand, right? Hey, ladies, right here. Up here. Thank you. I called you ladies even, huh? Okay. It also says, here's one of the other promises, favor with God and with other people. Yeah, it's a good promise. It's good to find other people to find you favorable, right? Because what's the opposite of to find favor with you? Disgust, dislike, you're a jerk, whatever. And that goes hand in hand with a good reputation. And especially when you get older, having a good reputation, it's all good. Because even now, you don't really want to have a bad reputation at school. Because it's not going to get you very far. If you think you want a bad one, when you get out of school, you'll maybe wake up. Anyway, all right, let's keep going. It's already 7:30, so we're already 12 minutes into our talk here, so we're almost done. Okay, remember the two paths. This is what Solomon says. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Listen to this, guys. This is some tough stuff. When you really think about not depending on your own understanding, that's one of the most impossible, hard things to do. But it is possible. Seek His will in all you do, and He will show you which path to take. Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Then you will have healing for your body and strength for your bones. All right, here's the deal, guys. Two paths again. There's two paths. There's being wise in your own eyes and being wise in God's eyes. Here's, I'm just going to go quickly through a couple things and then we'll go to our small groups. Here's the deal. If you want to be wise in God's eyes, there's something you have to be first. And the word isn't in here, but the posture and what you need to do is. Okay, the word I'm looking for is humility. In order to be wise, you have to be humble. You cannot be arrogant and full of pride, because that's the person who is wise in their own eyes. If you want to be a wise person, it starts by being humble. About not, exactly what they said, trusting in God and leaning on His understanding rather than your own. Second path. Wise in your own eyes. This one's the hard one, because you know what? We all fall into this. This is a trouble for all of us. See, here's the deal. Being Brianne. Come on. Okay. You guys can talk later. All right. Being wise in your old eyes, in your own eyes, is basically being impressed with your own wisdom. And you know what breaks my heart as someone who loves teenagers? And I've been a youth pastor for 8 years. There's no way I could do this job if I didn't love teenagers. Okay? Seriously. Absolutely no way. There's got to be a love factor there. One of the things that I find really hard to take in every generation, but really in this up-and-coming generation, is this idea that you're wise. As a teenager, that you're a wise person. That you consider yourselves wise, that you know all the best answers. And you know what? I can identify with that a lot, because I was one of those kids that was a know-it-all. Seriously. You know what? I'm sure my mom and dad probably wanted to smack me. Well, they did. A lot. But even more, they probably were just like, oh, my, especially when I got older. And just kind of thought I just knew everything, that my mom and dad were just kind of like always wrong and I knew the way. I was really, really wise in my own eyes. I was filled with pride. Nobody could tell me what to do. In fact, even when I was little, I was like this. The only one person who could tell me what to do was my dad, because I was scared of him. Right? I was just this little guy. And I remember lipping off teachers, principals, everyone. It's just like, you know what? You're not my dad. I don't have to listen to you. That was my canned response. You're kind of getting the picture of this little kid that's full of pride. Right? I didn't think anybody could speak into my life. I could make my own decisions. I could do whatever I wanted. You couldn't tell me what to do, because who are you? You're not my dad. And then when I got older, it was my dad got lumped in, because I wasn't scared of him anymore. I should have been, because he could probably still beat me senseless. But not that he ever did. I'm just saying he could now. My dad's a farmer, and yeah, anyway. So so here's the deal. As I look, I see a lot of myself in this younger generation, these teenagers today. I see you guys making those poor choices. And believe me, I had to go back and make all those things right, and it sucked. When I came back to God and said, okay, God, I'm sorry, I've been an idiot, I've been a jerk, I've been, you know, thinking I have all the answers. I had to go back and I had to say sorry, I had to make amends with all these people that I had trampled on. I had to apologize to my dad. It was really, really tough. I didn't get to that point until God just totally broke me. My own decisions, they were stupid and foolish, because I was relying on my own understanding. I thought I knew best. And so that was what I went with. And you know what? I still read the Bible, and some of it was I was at Bible college studying the Bible. And I still was just like, I think I know best. And what I was doing, I was putting myself above God's word, above everybody else, and it was all arrogance and pride. So my canned response was like, yeah, maybe. I know what's best for me. What do you know? I eventually found out the hard way. Just before I kind of got things realigned in my life, I was just like, I was in a deep pit, man. We had a little PowerPoint last week, and one of the things that was on there about making bad choices was despair. And I was full of despair. I had the last year before I kind of turned my life around, or Jesus turned my life around, seriously, my life was full of despair. I did some really stupid things. And I kept doing even more stupid things. And it was just more despair, more anger and more hatred, just kind of just like balling up, until finally I couldn't take it anymore. I was just like, what in the heck is wrong with this world? You know, it was always all outward. Everybody is just like nuts. You know, what in the world is God doing? And so it was just all outward focused. And it was at the end of that period where all of a sudden I realized, oh, what's the common denominator in all this stuff? It was me. It was my bad choices. It was me being arrogant and a jerk. And it was me deciding to go my own way and neglecting what God wanted me to do. I wasn't honoring my parents. In fact, I did some horrible things when my dad was down and out. It felt like one of the things I had to apologize, I felt like I kicked him when he was down. He was having some stuff, terrible stuff happen to him, and I used the opportunity to hurt him. It was brutal. What's that? That was my dad. That was the worst thing, because, you know, now I love my dad, and I just feel like such a jerk. So here's what I'm seeing. So many of you guys are refusing. Some of you guys have been coming here for a few years. And I'm watching your life. And I'm seeing you guys make bad choice after bad choice. And it's, believe me, it's killing me. So many of you guys, I've grown, like over the last couple of years, I've grown a relationship. I know you well. I pray for you. When God puts you on your mind, I pray for you. And it's killing me to see you guys make such horrible decisions in your life. Because I know at the end of that, that there's pain and hurt and suffering, and all because, and you may blame it on everyone else, the church, the God, or your parents, or whatever, but in the end, it's your decisions that are going to hurt you the worst. Not anybody else's. Your decisions. And there's... this is one of the reasons why I wanted to do this series. And I was praying about it, and I'm like, God, where do you want us to go? And God was just like, the word just wise choices. All summer, I'm like, nah, I don't want to do wise choices. That's too broad, too whatever. And it was just all summer, no, wise choices. How about I do this? No, wise choices. And I'm starting to realize, even, you know, just as I'm preparing this whole series, it's just like, wow, you know what? If these kids don't start making wise choices now, they're going to end up where I was, and maybe they won't make it back. You know, by God's grace, He brought me back. But it doesn't always happen. And I have tons of friends who just kept going down that road, and I don't even know where they are. So, if I can encourage you guys in any way, it's to start making wise choices now. If you're doing stuff that you shouldn't be doing, repent. Say, God, I'm sorry. Confess your sins. The Bible says that God is faithful and just to forgive you your sins. And to cleanse you from all unrighteousness, to give you a new start, clean heart. But also, that's not the end of it. The next step is actually to turn away from that sin. Repentance means literally to turn and walk the other way. And so if you're involved in sinful things in your life, turn and walk the other way. Get rid of your pride because it's going to destroy you. It's going to destroy you from the inside out. And you're going to look back years from now and going like, how in the world did I get here? And you won't even know. Because, in fact, I was reading today in the Proverbs, it talks about people taking evil paths, look back, and they don't even remember how they got to where they are. They start stumbling and they don't even know why. Well, I'm here to help you guys make some good choices. It starts with following Jesus. It starts with going, okay, Jesus, I know what you did for us. And I know I have doubts, I have all these other things that I got to deal with, but what I want to start to do right now is say, okay, Jesus, I want to repent from the things that I know are wrong, and I want to follow you. I want you to flood into my life. I want to get rid of despair. I want to get rid of all these other things. And if you go a little bit further into this text, this is what he says. Verse 21. My child, don't lose sight of common sense and discernment. Hang on to them, for they will refresh your soul. They are like jewels on a necklace. They keep you safe on your way, and your feet will not stumble. You can go to bed without fear. And you can lie down and sleep soundly. You need not be afraid of sudden disaster or the destruction that comes upon the wicked. For the Lord is your security. He will keep your foot from being caught in a trap. Basically, he's just outlining here, if you listen to what God wants in you for your life, this is what's going to happen. Good things. I know a lot of you guys struggle with fear. I mean, this sounds great. You can go to bed without fear. You can sleep soundly because you're not worried about stuff in life. Fear isn't gripping your heart because you've given your life to Jesus. And this is the coolest statement of all. You don't even have to be afraid of sudden disaster in your life. That if God took everything away from you, like he did Job, a guy in the Bible... We'll maybe talk about him another day. But you don't have to fear disaster. Because even if something horrible happens to you, Jesus is there for you and will help you through it. Isn't that cool? I mean, who wants to walk through life afraid, full of fear that disaster is going to overcome you, full of like horrible choices, your life seems to be spiraling out of control? Isn't this way better to keep you safe on your way? That you live in this security, that you know that God's got your back? And of all the guys to have your back, I mean, who's better than God? Nobody. So I deviated from my talk a little bit. But it's because I love you guys. I want you guys to make wise choices. I don't want you to destroy your life. It's one of the main reasons I'm a youth pastor. Because I want to help you guys make wise choices. And it begins with Jesus. Actually, and there's a verse in your small group you're going to go through that explains that all the hidden treasures of wisdom and knowledge actually are hidden in Christ himself, in Jesus. So, I'm going to pray for you guys. The guys can go to their small group, and ladies stay in here. We're just going to have a quick chat, all right? Heavenly Father, wise choices are tough to make, mainly because all of us are full of pride. So, Lord, we just ask that you would help us to be humble. You'd help us to take those steps that we need to get rid of sin and in our lives, that we need to follow you and trust you and follow your ways, because we know that they lead to life, real life, satisfying life. So, Lord, help us to do that. Give us the strength that we need to deal with the stuff in our life, to deal with the junk in our life that just weighing us down, to give it to you. Lord, I just pray that you would empower these teenagers to do that. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.